You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. As I was pulling out of Washington, D.C. yesterday on Capitol Hill, there was all kinds of reaction to the election result on Tuesday night in Massachusetts, electing a Republican senator, Scott Brown, for the first time in 50 years. Listen to Senator John McCain on the Senate floor yesterday.
Last night, a shot was fired around this nation. A shot was fired saying, no more business as usual in Washington, D.C. Stop this unsavory sausage-making process called health care reform.
So, question there, Senator McCain raises it. What is business as usual in Washington, D.C.? And is this about health care reform or something broader, something bigger, something possibly even constitutional in nature?
Or sausage.
or what is the sausage, exactly? Sausage is tasty, not good to look at, right? Isn't that the word?
Yes.
Representative Anthony Weiner is still with us. He's on the phone from his home in Washington. Thanks for being with us, Representative.
My pleasure. Thanks.
And also, we are privileged to have Julian Zelizer, a congressional historian at Princeton University. He's the author of Arsenal of Democracy, The Politics of National Security from World War II to the War on Terrorism. Julian Zelizer, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So, Professor Zelizer, Anthony Weiner said at the top of the hour that he's sick and tired or something, I think I'm characterizing it correctly, of worshiping at the altar of the 60-vote rule in the Senate. Does he have a point there, and when did this altar get built?
Well, I think it's one of the greatest sources of frustration. Now we expect 60 votes on almost every piece of legislation in the Senate. It's a product of the last two or three decades, really, as the filibuster gradually became a normalized tool of combat in American politics. It wasn't this way before the 1970s. And so now we have a supermajority Senate where that 60 is always required.
And now it's less than 60, and so the Senate is not going to be able to pass its own bill or pass a conference bill. What is the impact of the 60-vote rule on your business in the House of Representatives, Democratic Representative Anthony Weiner?
Well, I'll give your listeners some perspective on this. If we didn't have 60 votes, if we simply had majority rule, which we're all taught about in elementary school in this country, we'd probably have a public option. We probably have an expanded Medicare with a longer life expectancy for the program. We probably have the donut hole for prescription drugs that would be closed so seniors wouldn't be without coverage. And we probably have things like, you know, young people when they get out of college being covered under their parents' plan. You know, a lot of the things that are very popular that people in Massachusetts and around the country would probably say we really want passed would probably not only have been passed, but would have been passed with great fanfare, and the American people would have been, instead of disenfranchised and disenchanted, would have been very happy. So this 60-vote rule is really what is giving us the logjam that so many people are decrying, including John McCain in your last bite.
Now, you mentioned learn about majority rule in elementary school, and I did, and I think a lot of people do. Do we have a strange sort of culture of bipartisanship or talking about it in the United States? I mean, majority rules, party line votes, that's a sign of the function of the system. But we're taught to believe by people in the media and elsewhere that, in fact, that's a sign of dysfunction, that if you don't have bipartisanship, there's something wrong. Anthony Weiner?
Well, you're exactly right. You know, we all talk about the desire for bipartisanship, but what the American people really want is us to get stuff done. And frankly, the frustration that we have in our recent congressional history and political history is people decry bipartisanship and gridlock, the lack of bipartisanship and gridlock at the same time. What they really want is for us to get things done that they like. When you, when you scrape away everything else, that's what they want. And frankly, the procedural machinations in the Senate have created this environment of inertia that I think really is what the American people want us to get past.
So, Julian Zelizer, is there some historical precedent or is the historical milestone that people like you are going to write about, you know, years from now, that this is the first time a president sort of bet an entire program on the 60-vote rule and got his head handed to him?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of presidents have bet on one big piece of legislation. But, you know, usually you hope that you come out of it with something. So we had compared him to Lyndon Johnson, who betted on really a 67-vote bill, which was civil rights. But he pushed and shoved and cajoled, and he got Republicans to come over to his side, but not through nice politics, through hardball politics. And he got the Civil Rights Bill of 1964, and his story turned out much differently, at least on domestic policy. The problem here is, I think, he hoped for bipartisanship with a party that wasn't going to give a single vote, and I don't think he was willing to use the hammer, so to speak, to get some of those votes one way or another. So I do think it's a kind of stark contrast so far with Lyndon Johnson, that civil rights bill, and the rest of the Great Society.
Great context there. So is this an argument for harder ball politics on the part of the president, or is it an argument for changing the rule? That rule eventually went from 67 to 60, right?
It does, but not till 1975. And so he gets it with the existing structure. Look, one path is filibuster reform, but that's going to be extraordinarily difficult to achieve. So lowering the number of senators required from 60 to even lower, 55, 50. The other is using things like reconciliation, the budget process that allows you to avoid a filibuster. And finally, the other is to use presidential power to do what, you know, Speaker Pelosi does in the House and other speakers have done, to really lean on all members of the Democratic Party and force their hand to vote for this bill and do a little bit of that with Republicans.
And that's what whips do in the House of Representatives. Here's the Republican whip, Eric Cantor, giving his reaction to the Massachusetts result yesterday in Washington.
I look back a few months ago when I met with Majority Leader Hoyer, and I would guess this morning that perhaps he's thinking maybe he should have paid a bit more attention, because in that meeting I put forth our Republican plan to effect health care reform to bring down costs. There is a way for us to work together.
Democratic Representative Anthony Weiner of New York, is there a way for you to work together with Eric Cantor and the Republicans in the House?
Eric Cantor and his party has made it very clear that they are not going to participate in anything that will give President Obama any success. They've been the most partisan of hacks in this process. That's not a procedural problem. That's a strategic problem that the Republicans have made the determination. They don't want the president to have any success, and so that's the posture they've taken. That's fine, but I think the president needs to lean into this thing, travel around the country, talk about the popular elements of this plan, and lead by the way we only get big bills in this country is by muscular presidential leadership.
Muscular presidential leadership. Well, we will watch for that. Representative Anthony Weiner, Democrat of New York, thanks so much for that discussion, along with Jillian Zelizer, congressional historian at Princeton University, author of Arsenal of Democracy, The Politics of National Security. Thanks to both of you.